brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. My name is Rico Cortez, and I hope and pray that, I guess on new people that watch, you know, I mean, now, right now, all the time, I've been getting more and more emails from you commenting on the teachings, and I'm glad it's more positive than negative. I'm very, very flattered that some of you and the phone calls that I'm getting, I'm glad that I'm helping in any way, shape, or form. And one of the things that I'm very happy about is the fact that some of you actually take the challenge to go and verify information. To go look it up and verify, make sure that it's correct. And I appreciate you for that. So let's go right into the teaching. We have a lot of information in a short time. And we've been talking about the covenant of the pieces, the Abrahamic covenant, the unconditional covenant of grace. Now, in which the word of the Lord walked through the middle of the pieces. And if it's the first time listening to me, you're going to have to retrace your steps and go get first 1, 2, and 3 so you can follow the sequence of events. But in this particular program, we're going to talk about the ancient 9 steps of an ancient Hebrew covenant. Now, the steps of an ancient Hebrew covenant, not only Hebrew, but Middle Eastern. And back then, even to this day, they still do almost the same thing in Africa and some of the places, but the essence changed a little bit. Okay, for example, in the ancient Hebrew covenant, they never drank the blood. But in Africa, they do the same thing except that they mix the blood and they drink the blood to typify that your blood is mine and mine is yours, that we are one. In this case, Hebrews don't do that. We're not supposed to drink blood of any kind. So what we do with wine, which is a type and shadow of blood, and when we take the wine, it's as if we're coming in covenant. That's why Yeshua said the words that he said, this is the blood of the covenant, this is my blood, and this is my flesh. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let me go over the 9 steps. Let me tell you about this. If you want to know a little bit more about this, you can get a reference from The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread by Dr. Richard Booker. You know, that's a pretty good book that speaks about this. What I did, you know, I studied about the ancient Hebrew covenants, and then I went expounding a little bit more on it. But if you want a real quick reference about what this is, his book is very, very good. I highly recommend it. And he has this 9 steps. What I did, I spent 5 months studying it. Going over the internet, going looking into ancient books, trying to find out about ancient covenants. I found some incredible things. To the point that I found out that when you understand ancient covenants and you read the whole Bible through, that's the only underlying theme. Temple service, the Sabbath, the feast, and the ancient covenants is the underlying theme that speaks and makes you understand what Paul is trying to tell you over here. Because that was something that was very well known in the first century. Ancient covenants were very well known. Okay, and when you came into covenant with somebody, it was a heavy-duty responsibility. You just didn't come in to say, I'm your covenant partner. You just didn't say that. When you came into covenant with somebody, your life depended on it. Because if you broke the covenant, you have to die. That's the penalty. Okay? Now, let's go to all the 9 steps. Taking off the rope and the coat. Taking off the belt. Cutting of the covenant, it's got to be cut, the animals, and then your arm. Raise your arm and mix the blood. Exchange names. You got to make a scar, so there's always a witness that you were in covenant with that person. You give the terms of the covenant. You eat a memorial meal, and then you plant a memorial tree. Very significant. And you can get the essence of this in the Miracle of the Scarlet Thread by Richard Booker. Okay? But this is a very well-known concept in the Middle East. Let's begin with the first one. Remember, we're going to take every single one of those 9, and we're going to try to answer of how what happened and what it means in regards to Yeshua, okay? So bear with me. We got a lot of information to go. Let's continue. Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of Yahweh came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, I am your great shield. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. Interesting that every day when I pray in the morning, I do this prayer. Fathers, avot. It says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, right? It says, blessed are you, O Lord our God, okay? The Elohim of our fathers. Elohim avotai, right? Our fathers. Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yitzhak, Elohe Yaakov. It's the great and mighty and awesome Elohim. Supreme Elohim, who extends loving kindness and is master of all, who remembers the gracious deeds of our forefathers, and who will bring a redeemer with love to the children's children for his name's sake. King, helper, savior, and protector, blessed are you, O Lord, shield of Abraham. One of the steps of an ancient Hebrew, of an ancient covenant is that you have to give your shield. Just like Jonathan even gave the bow, everything. In other words, if somebody fights against you, I will fight on your behalf. I take my sword, you give me yours. If somebody wages war with you, I will protect you. I will guide you. And that's why that prayer says that. And they see, if the word of the Lord was the shield of Abraham, that means that he will be the protector, the helper, the savior, and he will be the king. Okay, because he's the shield. So every time you see Israel praying for deliverance, and you see this at war, sometimes there's war in the Middle East, and all of a sudden you see a soldier standing next to a tank, bombs going out, and he's praying. And he's doing the prayers. And the witness is the first prayer. So in the middle of the war, he's asking for Yahweh to be a covenant keeper. The covenant keeper to be the shield, to protect them and guide them. And this is why there are 1.3 billion Muslims. 1.3 billion Muslims cannot defeat 14 million Jews. Because Yahweh is the shield of Abraham. And when you mess with Israel, because Yahweh made a covenant with Israel forever, not only with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but with their seed forever, when the children of Israel call upon the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh remembers the covenant, then he has to act upon his promise, because the condition of the covenant is that if you are in trouble, I will defend you. This is why Abraham defended Lot when Lot got in trouble. Is this making sense to you guys? I hope you're following with me. We're having a good time touching all these concepts in here. Let's continue. In Deuteronomy 33, talks about this. I want you to notice the language that it uses. Covenant language. It says, there is none like unto Elohim of Jeshurun, of Israel, who rideth upon the heavens in your help. See that expression, in your help? Has to do with covenant, because he will become your helper. It says, and his excellency on the sky. The eternal Elohim is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and you shall say, destroy them. Deuteronomy 33 says, and Israel shall dwell safely alone, and the fountains of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also the heavens shall drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like unto you, O people, saved by Yahweh, the shield of your help. See, ancient covenant. And who is the sword of your excellency? Remember that one of the things that used to happen in ancient covenants was what? Exchanging of the sword. Exchanging of the sword. So not only is Yahweh your shield, he is your help, and he is your sword. And that's why Yeshua is coming with a sword coming out of his mouth to destroy the enemy. Because he is the one who made the covenant as the word of the Lord. So therefore, if he made the covenant, and he, one of the conditions is that if the children you're making covenant with are in trouble, you will come and redeem them. You will come and help them. You will come and safely take them to the place of refuge. Let's continue. Psalms 28, verse 6 and 7. Blessed be Yahweh, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Yahweh is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with song I will praise him. Amen. Because he is my shield. Now let's go to the next step. Taking off the belt. See, on the belt, the person had the money, the sword, and the shield. They exchanged it with one another to show how committed they were to the covenant. So if somebody fights, for example, ancient covenants is like this. If you come into an ancient covenant with somebody, you just don't tell them how much money you need. You give them the bank, the checkbook and the bank account. And whenever they're in trouble, they can take of your bank account without asking you, because that's what you're doing. You're taking care of the responsibility for them. If I'm in trouble, he helps me. If he's in trouble, I help him. If I die, he takes care of my family as his own. If he dies, I do likewise. But if you walk through the pieces and you come into covenant, but if one of us break the covenant, make what happened to those animals happen to us. And that's what happened with Yeshua. Because the word of the Lord was walking through the midst of the pieces, and Abraham was sleeping. It was the word of the Lord that walked through the pieces. And the children of Israel disobeyed the covenant. So somebody has to die. So the one who made the covenant had to die, which is the word of the Lord. I hope this is making sense to you. And in my opinion, this is very significant. Cutting the covenant. When you cut the covenant in Exodus 19, you come into a covenant. Exodus 19 is a conditional covenant. Okay, when you go to the text, you see it. Now therefore, If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel said, all that Yahweh has said, we will obey and do. What happened after the commandments were given? So they come into covenant in chapter 19. Everything Yahweh says we'll obey and do. In chapter 20, he gives you the conditions of the covenant. I am Yahweh your Elohim who brought you to the land of Egypt. Okay? You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not take my name in vain. You shall keep my Sabbath. You shall honor your father and your mother. You shall not, you know, steal. You shall not do this. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not do that. And then after he gives the commandments, then he builds an altar. Why does he build an altar? In Exodus 20, verse 24, an altar of earth shall you make it unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. Why? Because if you come into covenant with Yahweh, then you have to put the animals, cut the animals, and shed the blood, because it's by the remission of the blood, by the blood, remission of sins. There has to be blood, because we're talking about ancient covenants. Right? And there you have peace offerings and sheep and your oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto you and I will bless you. In other words, because you're doing covenant, so every time you brought an animal for the sacrifice, it was because you committed a transgression against the commandments. You did something unwillingly. You didn't mean to do it. And you wanted to come near again because you broke the covenant. So he allowed you to bring a sacrifice, present it to the priest. He will cut it. He will shed the blood. And he had your repentance of what you did. So therefore, you were right standing with God. He gave you a way to always be in right standing with him. There was only one sin that was no forgiveness for, and that was for willful, defiant, rebellious sin. You died. If you willfully decide not to obey the covenant after you came into it, just like the guy who came in the wilderness and he decided to pick up the sticks on the Sabbath. In the Hebrew, it tells you that he was high-handed, that he will look up to the heaven and says, I will not do it. I will not do it. And God says, okay, you come into a covenant after I redeemed you, after I give you manna, and now you want to do whatever you want, get rid of them. That's how heavy-duty covenants are. So if you're in covenant, understand that this is a commitment. If you accepted Yeshua, this is not serving Yeshua whenever you see fit. This is something to do with commitment, just like a marriage covenant. Let's continue. Verse 25, and if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones. And if you lift up the tool upon it, you shall pollute it. Neither shall you go up by steps unto my altar. Why altars are important here? Because it represents the authority of Yahweh on the earth. So when you build the altar, now you're saying that he owns you. Okay? That you submit to him in all things. That's what Paul says, and I reiterate on this program. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Okay, in other words, now you become covenant maker with him. Isaiah 42:6 says, I have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you for a covenant to a people, and a light for a Gentile. The duty of Israel was to be a covenant people to show the world that they needed to come back to him, but we have never really done that job very well. So let's continue. Isaiah 49:8. Yeah, thus says Yahweh, in an acceptable time, and listen to this. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. In a day of salvation, I've helped you, and I will preserve you and give you for a covenant of the people to establish you, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit it the desolate heritage. In other words, he came into a covenant, and it's everlasting. It will not change. So Israel will always be in the land because he made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when the great tribulation comes, we are going to call upon the name of Yahweh, and he will come in the clouds, and he will redeem us, and he will take us back to the land, because that's the promise he's given us here in Isaiah 49:8. Isaiah 54:10 says, for the mountains shall depart. Listen to this. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, saith Yahweh, that has mercy on you. Why does he have mercy on you? Because he understood from the beginning that we're not good enough to do it on our own, that the word of the Lord has to go through the pieces, and if Israel will break the covenant, he's still faithful to have mercy, because the condition of the covenant was that he will protect them, he will guide them, he will be their shield and their sword. Now, let's go to the next step. We don't have enough time. We're going to try to cover it. Raise the right arm, mix it with blood. You have to raise your right arm and mix it with blood. Matthew 26:64 says, Yeshua said unto him, You have said it, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. In other words, he will come with the right power of the right hand. That's why Yeshua is called the right hand of the Lord. Why? Because that's the right arm that you will raise in ancient covenants. He is the lawgiver, he is the covenant maker. And you would only swear by raising your right arm, the strong arm. Okay? 1 Peter 3:22, listen to this. Yeshua, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of Elohim, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. In other words, what you see here is that because Yeshua is the covenant maker, he is the right arm, and when you raise your right arm, you come into the oath, that's very significant. Okay, so the Peter is telling you about this. And the audience in 1 Peter are the dispersed of Israel. 1 Peter 1:1. He came to the dispersed of the dispersion. Okay? Those who are scattered in the dispersion who are in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and Asia. So the audience were the Israelites. Okay? Now, Hebrews 10:12 says this. But this man, Yeshua, right? After he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the Father, Elohim. Sat down the right hand of Elohim. Why did he sacrifice himself? Because he was the covenant maker. And he has to give his life because the descendants of Abraham broke the covenant. And because he was the only one walking through the pieces. And the condition is, when you both people walk through the pieces, you raise your right arm, you make it the oath, and then what do? You say, if somebody fights against you, I will fight against him. If there's a need, I will take care of your need. But if you break the covenant, what happened to those animals happens to you. Somebody has to die. So therefore, Yeshua offered up himself. Why? Because he was the covenant maker, and Abraham was sleeping, and he didn't walk through the pieces. But the descendants of Abraham did suffer of the penalty of disobedience, which is dispersion from the land. Yeshua's death and resurrection brought them back into right standing with Yahweh the Father. Exodus 24, verses 1 on says this. And he said unto Moses, Come unto Yahweh, you and Aaron, and Nadab and Abihu, 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar. And Moses alone shall come near Yahweh, and they shall not come at night. Neither shall the people shall go up with them. Listen to this. They come into a covenant. So what happens? And Moses came and told all the people all the words of Yahweh and all the judgments. And all the people answered in one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has said we will do. At that moment, they came into a covenant. Now you have to cut the pieces. So what does he do? And Moses wrote all the words of the covenant, all the words of Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill, with 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, the commandments are given. They agree to the commandments. Now you have to have blood to ratify it. And it's 12 pillars, 12 tribes. It's not with the Gentiles. It's with Israel. But what's interesting, there were Gentiles among them. There were strangers, ger. The Hebrew word is ger, G-E-R. They're not pagan heathens. They're the gers. They are the strangers who dwell with them. Let's continue. He sent young men of the children of Israel, which offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings, oxen out to Yahweh. And Moses, listen to what he does. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basins, and half of the blood and he sprinkled on the altar, ratifying the covenant. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the covenant of the people. That's basically telling you the conditions of the covenant. And they said, all that Yahweh has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the book and sprinkled it on the people. I'm sorry. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold the blood of the covenant, which Yahweh have made with you concerning all his words. So now you have what? All the makings of an ancient covenant. You have Yahweh coming and making a covenant with Israel. Moses being the mediator. Through Moses, the mediator. Remember that when Israel broke the covenant, Moses went back up to the mountain and says, Blot me out. Killed me. He took responsibility for the sins of Israel. Okay? Very significant. So what's interesting here now, everybody says we will obey and be obedient, and he takes the blood, and he sprinkles it on the people, and he sprinkles it on the covenant. Very significant. This is part of the ancient covenant. And this is why Yahweh always saved them in the wilderness and protected them from the Amalekites and the Edomites and possessing of the land. Continue. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 says, "For if we'll sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, therefore remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He who despises Moses' law dies without mercy under two or three witnesses." Okay? "How much more sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Man, the Son of Elohim, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified on holy thing and has done despise unto the Spirit of grace." In other words, if you renounce Yeshua, you are basically breaking the covenant. You're breaking the covenant and you will die. It's very significant because he's the covenant maker. Let's go to the next step, exchanging of names. I hope I'll have time. The exchanging of name in Genesis chapter 17, after Abraham comes in covenant with the word of the Lord, there's an exchange of name. Abraham's name is no longer Abram, it's Abraham in verse 5. "And your name shall be Abraham, for the father of many nations I made you." Well, which letter was added to his name? It's the letter He. In the screen you see it, the letter He is the name of the name added to the name Abraham. The letter He represents the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Living God. The same letter was added to the name of Sarai to Sarah. And that's what you have. Yod Hey Vav Hey, Yahweh. You see, Yod Hey Vav He. And the letter He typifies the breath. Okay? Isaiah 62, verse 1 says this, "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Yerushalayim's sake, I will not rest until that righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamb that burn." It says, "And the Gentiles shall see the righteousness and all the kind of thy glory, and you shall be called by a new name." You see that? So therefore, now we have a new name. Now, in Revelation, it's the same thing. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of his manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written that no man knoweth, and that he that received it. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim, and the name of the city of Elohim, which is the new Jerusalem, which come down out of heaven from my Elohim, and I will write upon him my new name." So you see now that you get with the new names. Scars. Now you see the scar? Let's go back to the next step of the ancient Hebrew covenant. Scar. You have to have a scar on your hand. Okay? So you have the scar to prove that you were in covenant with that other person. So where do we see this in the covenant with Abram? How come he didn't say, "Cut your ears so everybody will see that you're in covenant with me"? He says, "No, you're going to have circumcision on the eighth day." Why do you have the circumcision of the eighth day? Because if I'm making a covenant with you and your seed and your other seeds be forever, then I want it to come from the location where the seed comes from. So everybody would know that you are in covenant with me. So circumcision originally was done by the Hebrews only. And then now the nations, everybody does it. But what's interesting is that circumcision is more than just circumcision. It has to do with showing the world that you and your descendants are always in covenant with Yahweh. So if you break the covenant, you will pay with death. So you have to consider that if you're a Jew and you're not following Torah, you go understand that you came in covenant when you were circumcised and you were mitzvah, you took responsibility for that covenant. And now you got to pay the consequences of it if you break it. Okay? Let's see if we can finish this up. Yeshua was showing the covenant. He showed the sign of the covenant. How did he do that? In John chapter 20, when Thomas asked to touch the wounds of Yeshua, when he asked to touch the wound, "Hey, okay, you know, I don't believe he did. I got to see it. So Yeshua says, "Hey, come on over here. Put your hands in my wound. Put your hands on my side and believe." See, we have to be a little bit like Thomas. When the anti-Messiah comes, you know one way to identify the anti-Messiah? You ask him, "Show me your hands and show me your side," because he's going to deceive many. How do you know if he's the Messiah of Israel or if he's the Antichrist? Tell him to show you your hands. And the last step of an ancient Hebrew covenant is do a memorial meal. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cover this next time. On the next program, on the next program, I'm going to go over and some of these again do review, and then because I really want to take my time and finish it up. Okay, so please come back to me because as we go here, they got terms. You get give the terms of the covenant. So as we do this, and you see the signs. Remember that Yeshua had the wounds, and Thomas saw it, and he believed, so that he showed the signs of the covenant. Now you have to also have here giving of the terms of the covenant. There are terms to the covenant. What are those terms? The commandments of Yahweh. But with whom did he make the covenant with? That's the question. And that's where you enter. If you're not a Jew, if you're not an Israelite, and you're a Gentile who wants to be part of the household of God, then you better come back on the next program because I'm going to explain to you how is it that you become in covenant with the Yahweh of Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great and mighty Elohim, the supreme Elohim. The one who keeps covenants with those who love him and keep his covenants forever. I tell you, this is exciting. We're learning the reason why Yeshua had to die. And we are reviewing ancient covenants in the ancient world. So please stay tuned and come back because you know what? Yahweh will bless you and keep you if you obey and you obey his commandments. And you will not be the tail, but you will be the head. And you will be blessed in your city and out of your city. That's what he promised. I leave you with a blessing. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom, and Yahweh will put his name upon the children of Israel, and he will bless them. Shalom aleichem. We'll see you next time. Hello, thank you for joining me, and it's a pleasure to be a teacher here at GLC, and I personally want to thank Al and Tommy Cooper for the opportunity to give us a chance to teach Torah and to bring the Hebrew roots into your homes. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, www.wisdomintorah.com, or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Also, some of the other information will be there for you to enjoy, and PowerPoints and other things for you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. And remember, everything that I teach, everything that I share with you is in my heart so we can grow together, so we can learn together, so we can become spiritually mature for the coming of our Messiah. All I ask is that when you read something that I say, go back and verify everything I say. Do not believe anything that I said. Owe it to yourselves to only praise Him, to give Him the honor and the glory, because we are all servants of the Most High Elohim, Yahweh Tzevaot. Yahweh bless you and keep you.